mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right. Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. Tobin here with you. Let's talk some fights, eh? Let's do this thing. Watched a little KSI Logan Paul yesterday on DAZN for your ass. I was honestly mostly intrigued to see what Shannon the Cannon Briggs was going to be like as a trainer. Did not disappoint. I loved it. I loved every piece of it. I don't think I could hear your mic, Steve, if you were saying something.
You got like suckered into that?
Well, it's not. Here's the thing. I had DAZN from watching the Canelo fight the week before, so not really. And I actually, in full transparency, I didn't even watch it last night. I woke up this morning, I saw KSI wins controversial split decision. I'm like, all right, I'll see what happened. And yeah, I watched it. You know what? I watched the first one. I watched that on an illegal stream. This was much better. It was much better than the first fight. These guys were in good shape.
They took it seriously.
They definitely took it seriously. Like, I saw, you know, I know Shannon that brought in some guys from Miami to spar with Logan Paul and things like that. So, yeah, I think they definitely took it seriously. The thing that people just always neglect when it comes to just walking into a fight, combat, professional sports and all that stuff, guys, the thing that you just don't realize is just the timeless hours these fighters put in the gym of drilling and amateur rounds and background and pedigree, all of that stuff, it is unbelievable how second nature this stuff comes. Because, look, I'm just a jackass who talks on the radio. When I do boxing stuff, like, it is just, it's bags and pads. It's all nonsense. I'm floored with the mind capabilities of these guys remembering combinations, slips, rolls, all that types of stuff. That stuff takes time. And the thing is that these guys, you have to have a true respect for professional fighters in the type of mentality they bring into stuff. It takes time. It takes effort just for it to become second nature. You're not thinking about what you're doing. That's the stuff I always come away with, this stuff, Marvel. It's not the punches. It's not the hard knockouts. I think like any juice head could probably go in there and throw an impressive overhand right that moves a heavy bag really far or stings somebody's hand. But, you know, to really know that mental craft to get through a fight with the same kind of cardio level, that's always the thing I come out of these things marveling most at when a Logan Paul, a KSI, or quite frankly, a Greg Hardy goes out there and fights, and you're seeing him with five fights in the octagon just starting to look, all right, maybe Greg Hardy is starting to kind of get a grip of this stuff. Look how much that took. It took a long, long time. So, you know, KSI, Logan Paul, I invested 18 minutes in it. What are we talking about? Yeah, sure, I'll watch those guys go in there and I'll watch them scrap. To be honest with you, I don't really know the background story of them. I don't know much about Logan Paul. I don't know much about KSI. I'm not somebody who really lives in that world. I know that they're super, super popular. I know that building was packed. I know supposedly a lot of people were subscribing to this thing. I do tell you this. I do appreciate the fact that Eddie Hearn, who I've not been the biggest supporter of and I've not been the biggest fan of, I do think it was a smart decision from his standpoint to put a Devin Haney on that card, to put a Billy Joe Saunders on that card. I thought that was smart. Don't just do the whole Barstool Sports rough and rowdy thing of nothing but YouTubers fighting each other.
Oh, God, I love that.
Yeah, I thought putting Devin Haney and giving him that kind of a platform, I thought that was a good move. I thought putting a Billy Joe Saunders on, I think that's a smart move, even though, you know, Billy Joe didn't look the as fantastic as we've seen him in the past. I thought that was savvy. So, yeah, if you're looking for the purest form of boxing, that ain't it. That wasn't it, man. That certainly wasn't it. But as far as two guys, I'll tell you one thing. This is interesting. Can I actually break down the fight, if I may? If I may be, bold enough to do that?
Go for it.
Okay. You want to know who actually had the most screw-ups in that fight last night? It was the guy with the most experience, Jack Reese, the referee. This guy screwed up two knockdowns because KSI, he knocked down Logan Paul in the third round, and then in the fourth round, Logan Paul hit him with this hellacious uppercut, really good shot. He puts KSI on the canvas, and as he's trying to kind of finish it, you know, going down. Listen, Logan Paul does not have the experience to know what to do when to go to his neutral corner if he knocks the guy down. And he did not, like, maliciously hit him when he's already on the canvas. So Jack Reese, he sends KSI to the corner. I'm like, all right, what the hell's going on here? He says, you got 5 minutes. I'm like, what? I'm like, are you going to call this a slip? What are we doing here? So he scores the knockdown, but then tells the judges, take 2 points away from him. Basically saying, this at best can be an 8-8 round for Logan Paul. So he just got a huge knockdown and now doesn't get any of the benefit of the 2 points. And in the end, swung the fight. Even if they would have scored, even if they would have ended up scoring the knockdown the round beforehand, let's say those two are awash, it ended up swinging the fight in Logan Paul's favor. So Jack Reese had a rough night as a referee, man. He really, really did. I don't know. Maybe he was a little bit too overcautious or too flimsy with the rules, or wanted to be extra enforcing with the rules because of these basically amateurs who have just turned professional in there. But yeah, he really screwed up the night. If you were invested in Logan Paul KSI, you didn't get the result you should have gotten because the referee didn't know what he was doing. And I can't believe I broke this down that much.
You know what that means, right?
Mm.
It's a third fight.
Trilogy, yeah. Well, okay, KSI says no trilogy. He's holding out. No. We have to, you know. The one thing, though, is Logan Paul and KSI, like, this rivalry, does it keep going? Like, do they go and they try to do it a third time? Okay, then what? Like, are they going to, like, Logan Paul's like, I want to be heavyweight champion of the world. It's like, man. Dude, you look fantastic. Maybe you should go play a boxer in a video, or you could go do these celebrity fights. Or I think, listen, KSI is a suggestion of him fighting CM Punk. I think that's a pretty good suggestion. Although, you know, CM Punk's in his mid-50s now. He's an old timer. He's taking a guy 30 years older than you. But you know, it is what it is, man. These things, it was fun. It was a gimmicky night. Like I said, if you're investing 18 minutes in it, whatever. DAZN did something that got people tuned in, got them interested. I thought that they looked pretty decent for two guys who, you know, they're just dipping their toe into this stuff. They've been told, hey, if you're going to do this, you want to do it on DAZN, you got to be professional boxers. I thought that was a savvy move by Eddie Hearn, so I'll give him props there. And also give my props to my boy Shannon Briggs. Shannon Briggs is a good trainer. I'll say it. Look what he did out there. He had Logan Paul doing his thing. He wasn't trying to make it too complex for the guy. He's like, listen, you go out there, you give him the 1-1-2, you give him the 1-2-3, that's it. Like, let's not, this isn't rocket science out here. And he was right. I think basically from that second round, from that knockdown, non-knockdown, you know, Logan Paul really turned it on. And I put that all to the coaching of Shannon the Cannon Briggs, who maybe has a future in this. Why not? I mean, his fighter did just lose to KSI, but on a technicality. So there was that. I watched a little UFC Moscow yesterday. You had Zabit. He got the win over Calvin Kattar. Really entertaining fight. The only thing I would say with that fight, I don't understand why it was three rounds. You know, from what I understand, Zabit's team, when this got moved to this point, they said, we'll do the fight, but we only want it to be three rounds. And main event fights are five rounds. And there's a couple things. Zabit's had a lot of hype around him, I would say, the last 18 months. People have been really into Zabit and some of the moves that he's been able to throw off. And, you know, people wanted to see the next, you know, Dagestani monster. You know, he's not from the same camp as Khabib, but you know, they think, oh, that same area, he's gonna main event in Moscow, let's see what goes down. And I really felt like if that fight had another two rounds to it, maybe it could have swung a different way. We don't know. I mean, it's a little bit open for interpretation. Zabit did end up getting the win for himself, but also in this regard, like, why is Zabit taking on a guy like Calvin? Calvin's very talented and he's entertaining, but he's kind of just dipping his toe. And they kind of just throw him to the wolves here, man. They're just like, hey, take it on Zabit, go at it. And he looked decent. He looked decent. I don't know what this win does for Zabit. I feel like he really needs a big leap up. It's kind of time to see, sink or swim, what is this guy? And is he capable of going and winning a title? Because there's been a lot of hype around him now for a little bit. And we've seen a lot of these guys who've had the hype around him, you know, say like a Stylebender. You know, Stylebender, he got the hype behind him and he was looking for the fastest route up. And not everybody takes that tactic. Not everybody is a Stylebender. Not everybody wants to do that. But I do kind of feel like for Zabita, it is time for that step up for him. The other big thing in this was the co-main event. You had Alexander Volkov taking on Greg Hardy. This was Greg Hardy's fifth trip to the Octagon in 2019, so a very, very busy first year for Greg Hardy. Part of the motivation of doing this was the fact that he was, you know, the last fight was a little bit controversial. It held the whole inhaler gate. Whose fault was it? Definitely up for debate of what was going on there. But I thought that him and his team made a pretty savvy move of deciding, all right, let's go fight a top 10 guy. Let's fight him on 2 weeks' notice. Let's see what happens. And, you know, Greg Hardy didn't ever feel like he was really in the fight as far as, I don't know if Volkov ever felt like he was truly, truly in danger. Felt like he was very calm throughout the whole regard, but he didn't get, you know, I'll say this about Greg Hardy, didn't get embarrassed. He supposedly had his arm hurt in the midst of the fight, blocking a kick. So his big right hand, over the top right hand, his best weapon, if you will, wasn't truly available. He wasn't not throwing it at all, but he wasn't throwing it with frequency. So, you know, I come out of every Greg Hardy fight kind of feeling the same way. I don't feel as excited to, I've watched every Greg Hardy fight, but I've become less interested in watching Greg Hardy, the fighter, because I don't know where this goes. I don't know what the ceiling of this is. You know, he talks all this stuff about, I think I could be champion. You know, I could be the Michael Jordan of UFC because I'm bringing all this athleticism. And all that stuff, I guess, you know, look, I've said he comes in with the best mixed martial arts credentials that the UFC's ever had with how good of a pass rusher he was. But I don't really know what that means. I don't know if we've seen a guy, does that mean he's the best athlete? I mean, he's literally used an inhaler mid-fight. Does he look like he's extra, extra special when he hits you with something? Not really. Not really since we've seen him knock out Austin Lane. We haven't seen that, whoa, this guy could be something special. I've stood next to Greg Hardy. He's a very intimidating dude. He's huge, huge. But what is the ceiling for him? Now, granted, this was five fights into his first year. You'll give him time. You see what he can turn into. But I don't think any of us watch Greg Hardy with the guy. This is the thing. When you look like that against Alexander Volkov, I'll totally excuse it. I'm not expecting Greg Hardy to go out there and look like a superstar against a guy who's fought as long as Volkov. Volkov's a former Bellator champion. He's a monster, and he's fighting in his home country, and he's got way more experience than Greg Hardy. So if Greg Hardy has kind of a performance against Volkov, that's almost a win in a lot of regards. But some of the guys they've thrown him in there with, even though the president has said, like, I don't know who the nine guys are that guy beat that Greg Hardy just beat. Like, they're not, they have not thrown Greg Hardy to the wolves up until this point. And I just haven't been terribly impressed. It's not to hate on him. I'm not hating on him because I know the guy works in an excellent gym. He's got excellent coaches and supposedly is working hard on this stuff. But I come out of these fights and I'm just like, do you watch him? Because he talks a big game about this. Do you watch him and feel like this guy is going to be a special fighter? I don't. He could be a fine fighter. I think he'll make a living doing this. And there's always going to be real estate for him because people are going to be into watching him, whether they love him or hate him or are just intrigued. I think that's kind of where I'm just at. I'm just at, like, the intrigued. I don't love watching Greg Hardy. I don't really hate watching Greg Hardy anymore, but I'm intrigued. I'll watch. Let's see what the development is. I want to see where this guy's at. And every time I come away with the same thing, like, It's fine. I'm not watching the freakiest, scariest dude I've ever seen walk into the Octagon. He can make all the mean mugs that he wants, but that still belongs to Francis Ngannou. Like, when I watch Francis Ngannou, I'm just like, ooh. Like, when you watch Francis Ngannou fight, your hair stay up a little bit, even with the flaws that he has. Francis Ngannou's a flawed fighter, but I watch him fight, and, like, you get the tingles all over because you know that guy's throwing special bombs. Like, it's just like this guy, he touches you and something really, really nasty can happen to that opponent. And I just don't feel that way when I watch Greg. Even now, credit to getting through that fight, credit to a busy first year, all that stuff. I do feel like doing this did erase all the bad taste from that inhaler gate. I think that's wiped away now and it won't be a thing. So I guess the question really becomes now, okay, you've taken on the number 7 guy in the world. You got shut out by him. Basically, You fought him a little bit banged up. It seems like you had a nasty injury in the midst of that. So where do they go from here? Do they put him in the bottom? Do they have him fight guys in the top 15 and grow from there? Who knows? And what does this really do for Volkov? That's the thing for Volkov. I will say this for Alexander Volkov, not ending Greg Hardy or not finishing Greg Hardy. I don't really know what that does for him. You know, he was supposed to take on Junior Dos Santos, a former champion, and then you go and you fight basically a guy who you have worlds more experience than. So from his standpoint, I don't know if that does a big leap for him. He's still a top 10 guy. He was probably, you know, beating Derek Lewis away from getting into the title picture. He's probably a little bit further off now and needs another fight to get back right. Wouldn't mind seeing the Derek Lewis fight again. I don't know if Derek Lewis wants to do that because he kind of pulled that one out of his magic hat. But, yeah, that was kind of the big highlights from UFC was Zabit and the Volkov-Greg Hardy thing. So we come back. We are going to talk to an old friend. Very excited to bring this to you. Hector Lightning Lombard, a.k.a. Show Weather. Hector Lombard is making his return to combat sports. He is going to be fighting in bare knuckle fighting championships. And we got a chance to sit down with Hector. Really great conversation, what he's been up to, what his life's been like since not fighting in the UFC, and why he wants to get into bare-knuckle fighting, something that's been a popular move for a lot of former UFC guys. And really, like, you know, people who don't know, Hector is one of the bedrocks of this show. So we'll bring that to you. Hector Lombard, former Bellator champion, former UFC veteran. We'll talk to the great Hector Lombard next.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin here with you on Fighters Fury. So I got a chance about a week and a half ago. I hit up my guy, Hector Lombard. I got the news that he is going to be joining Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, Bare Knuckle FC, who has done a good job as far as this Bare Knuckle stuff is concerned, getting people buzzed about it. You had the Artem Lobov, Paulie Malignaggi fight. We recently had Gabriel Gonzaga versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva, getting a lot of former UFC guys. Chase Sherman is their heavyweight champion. Next week, I think, is Artem Lobov versus Jason Knight, which was a really, really good fight the first time these guys fought. But the next guy to kind of leap into there is going to be Hector. And look, for those who don't know about Hector Lombard, this guy was as devastating a puncher as it gets. Even in his UFC run, you know, people want to say, well, the UFC run's super disappointing. Obviously, it wasn't what I'm sure he had hoped, as we'll talk about in this interview. But he, every one of those fights, it felt like, had a scary moment where he was knocking somebody's head off and maybe just didn't end up getting the result that he wanted. I mean, like him versus Dan Henderson, all these kind of crazy moments that he had. Former Bellator middleweight champion of the world, just an absolute monster. He's a terror. So now he's not fighting with gloves on. So good luck with that, everybody. Enjoy that. But I got a chance to sit down with Hector. Went over to Kevin Gleason's gym, Stay Ready Athletics. Kevin's going to be training him for this. He's had experience training guys in bare knuckle before, which we'll get into in this interview. And you'll hear when he's going to be making his debut, and I think you'll be interested in where he'll be making that debut. Here's my conversation with Hector Lightning Lombard. Coming to you from Stay Ready Athletics, very excited to be talking to the man, Hector Lombard, joining us here. Hector, thank you for the time, man. You getting loose? You got the hand there going?
Yeah, it's good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to be back in front of you, back talking. It's been a while. It's been too long. Been too long, but big news, man. You're going bare knuckle. This is the big thing.
Yeah. I love the, you know, the sport in general. Like, it's brutal, so I really like it.
Brutal. You're just like so calm about it. It's brutal. It's brutal. I love it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if I would have born, you know, like 2,000 years ago, I would have been fighting, you know, in you know, with those gladiators or something like that.
That, like, does that fascinate you stuff? Like, do you go back and watch like the history documentaries and whatnot? You love that stuff.
Yeah.
But you've been like cage side for this stuff, watching these guys go out there with no gloves on. Were you immediately like, yeah, I gotta get in on this, or was it a piece of like, oh no, too brutal?
I got really excited, you know, when I was especially when I was close by, I was just wanna be in it.
And what were like, did you talk to guys who have done it, or did you feel like you didn't need much of a push to want to do it?
No, I mean, you know, even like Kevin has like I think he has the most bare knuckle fighters.
Yeah. Well, he was explaining to me the fascinating process of training with bare knuckles, because you know, those have been your tools forever, and you've always, and it's so important. I saw you like the importance of wraps and keeping them safe and all that stuff. So now you're in this situation where you got to get ready, and you know they're going to be exposed. So like, does it have you practiced hitting bare knuckle? Have you practiced hitting things without any protection on or anything like that? Or you don't think that's going to be a problem?
No, I don't think I have very strong hands. But I feel like the sport in general is made for, you know, for me, you know. I have big hands, pretty strong. I'm strong physically, so I seem like this is like a perfect fit for me.
Have you been itching to get back in competition? Like you, has it been a tough wait?
I had like a lot of personal issues even when I was fighting. In the UFC, I had like so many personal issues. One day I will tell you about it, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
So even me fighting, my mind wasn't there. So I clear my, you know, my space. So I don't want to keep dealing with that. You know what I mean?
That's tough for fighters, because nobody, you know, everybody just expects you to kind of just show up on fight night and nice, put and everything perfectly, and you have so much as a human that you got to deal yeah. with. That's gotta be tough.
And before it was easier. Even I remember when I moved from Australia to here, because I had a lot going on down there. I had my business, and you know, I started to become so busy because I was very popular down there, and second because you know I was running two businesses. So I sold my business and I jumped in a plane and I came here, just for that reason, because I just didn't want to have the drama. Came here, and then little by little I accumulate so much drama, so much problems. It was crazy.
Do you what about this year do you feel like has helped you put a lot of that stuff behind? Is it just being away from it and being away from competition and just letting yourself clear, or yeah. was there any spiritual stuff, was there any reading, was there anything somebody told you, or just self-reflection?
I think it was more like a self-reflection of, you know, when I had the time to kind of like sit back and see what the hell is going on. So I took a look, and I don't even know how to say, like, it was, yeah, my mom, she didn't work, she couldn't even, do anything, so I was taking care of my mom. I was going through the divorce, and then a lot of personal issues, and then I had a gym, and then I mean it was so much that I couldn't totally focus in the fight. When you're a fighter, you have to be 100% for the fight.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to Sweden for two weeks, it was people living in the gym. And I'm like, man, I miss these days, man. Like when I used to live in the gym and I'm just focusing training only.
It's easier. It's easier when you don't have the burden of other people.
Exactly.
And you and you know, just seeing around you in the gym and being around people, you bring a very positive vibe.
Yeah.
And you like to bring that uplifting spirit into a gym. So when you're carrying a lot of stuff, is this place always an escape? Like no matter what gym you're in, is it always a good escape for you, or is it sometimes does it feel forced, like you have to put on the positive because you feel like that's the best place you succeed?
It was at the end, it was like kind of like I have to go to the gym because I have to train. Yeah. It's not because, you know, that's the only place that I have.
Right.
Like most of the fighters, you know, the gym is what they have. What else they have? You know, I had so much going on that the gym for me was kind of like the last choice, because I was caught up in so many drama, so much drama. It was crazy.
Do you want to look at this bare knuckle thing? Like, it's becoming super popular.
Yeah.
I mean, people are crazy about it. I'm sure that you wanted the UFC run to go like a lot better than it did with all the accolades you came in from Bellator and all that. So are you looking at this almost as like the next chapter? Like you could still get back to that top of the top in this new promotion that's like hotter than like anything in combat right now?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, first thing that I have to do is this is what I'm doing. You know, I got a good trainer, I got Kevin, I got good people around me. I don't have the drama, and every single time that I'm close to some drama issues, I'm like, I'm out. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep my mind just focused on training. Before I wasn't.
When do you think you're gonna make your debut? Do you have any timeline for it?
February 1st.
So when do you think? Oh, so you like no, you know
it's. It's February 1st.
Do you know where it's gonna be?
We haven't decided what opponent, but it's definitely here, and they want to fall out of there.
Whoa! So it's gonna debut down here?
Yeah, yeah.
That's big news, man.
Yeah.
You breaking that to me?
I do.
Come on, man. We've been waiting for it down here. That's what I'm talking about. Because I think the Malignaggi Artem was supposed to be down here, and it ended up moving to Tampa. I was like, man, that was South Florida. That would be the, yeah. This like it's made for-
especially at the Hard Rock. You know what I mean? My dude.
Yeah. Well, that Hard Rock's got special meaning to you.
Oh man, you have no idea.
That's
like it's crazy. How many good things I did in there? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the people that I met, like Seema and Tommy. You know, we became good friends. They're wonderful people. So yeah, man, like that's a special place for me.
So you feel like even when you're there, because I think I saw your social media, like just at the hotel opening, which is crazy to see a damn guitar in the middle of the state. Like you get those flashbacks that they always come back.
I mean, put it this way, that was where I won my Bellator World Championship. And then I defended at the same place. And it was packed. I remember there was so many Cubans. There's so many people from everywhere, you know? But it was super packed. And I feel like I can do that again in the bare knuckle, you know?
Does it blow you away what South Florida has become as far as mixed martial arts and the popularity of it? Everybody flocks to here now, and you know, you were at the grassroots of it. Like you were here when it was still in the kind of, I won't say the beginning stage, but like really kind of the beginning stages. And now it's just like, you know, American Top Team's like looks like a damn factory, and everybody seems like they flock down here. It's almost like this weird, I don't know, kind of capital, fight capital in a strange way. Does that blow you away in any way?
It does. It does, definitely does. I mean, when I came here, I actually came here because of the weather, because I was in California,
right.
And I like it down there. But you know, I met Ricky, and I remember Mikey was just starting being a manager, and I was talking with Ricky, and the thing I know, I just flew up down here. And I'm like, I'm staying here. Yeah. I knew Dan Lambert from Pride, because he used to go to Pride. And then I just start training at ATT, and then that's it.
That's pretty bananas, man. Well, listen, we're wishing you the best of luck. It's awesome. It's awesome that you're going to be on this platform. Oh, you're debuting down here. That's the perfect place for it. No other place it should be. I hope, man, like this is going to be like, what gets everything, all the stuff that you talk about, all the drama and whatnot, I hope this clears it all out.
Yeah.
Is fresh start for you.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to I'm sure 100% sure that I'm gonna be fighting at the Hard Rock at one point. So I cannot wait to do that again.
Should they really let you do this though? Because those things are like pretty devastating as it is with pads. Yeah. Like I don't think it's really that fair to let you do it with no protection. You're gonna really hurt somebody, Hector.
That's what you get paid for.
I understand, man, but like there should be a squadron. Like, you know what, Hector's too devastating a puncher to be bare knuckle. I'm sorry, Hector.
Let's go.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury rolls on this Sunday morning. Thanks again to Hector Lombard for sitting down with us. Very much enjoyed our conversation and look forward to watching him. Coming up, South Florida, told you. Debut coming in February. It will be down here, which is where it should be if you're going to have Hector Lombard on the card. So very, very cool. We've been having a lot of themes of guys not fighting, guys who aren't fighting in their normal sports or guys who aren't fighters fighting today. So I was just looking at some footage. Some footage came out this week of Darren Till. He is training Tyson Fury for MMA. He was teasing this a little bit. We didn't know if it was serious, but there are some videos that came out from Tyson Fury's promoter. Dana White even put it out with the old googly eyes emoji, and anytime there's a googly eyes emoji, that means something's actually going down. Everybody knows that. I gotta say, Tyson Fury looks pretty good. He looks pretty good. He can move around. Those big ass legs getting up there. So we'll see what goes down. If Tyson Fury, maybe Tyson Fury versus Greg Hardy. There we go. Boom. Give Greg Hardy something intriguing. You know, he's got 5 fights in now. I'd be interested. Let's see if that's the way to go now. So that's one thing. Now, there is some news on the Nate Diaz front. So Nate Diaz had this post this week where he was basically saying that we all knew what the result was going to be from the start. I'm going on tour, F fighting. And so everybody assumed that Nate Diaz was going to retire. That was going to be it for him. We were done seeing Diaz in the octagon. But he did give a statement to Ariel Helwani and basically threw all that in the fire. No retirement is coming. He said that he will he'll fight tonight if he wants to. So there's no retirement. So what's going to be next for him? I don't know because I don't think this rematch between him and Masvidal is going to be next. Even though Masvidal again reiterated that if he does come back, we will run it back. He said that when the first retirement rumors came out. But I got to be honest, like, I don't think that those guys are going to share the octagon next, even with the stoppage being what it was. I feel like as the days have gone on and you get out of the emotion of fight night, most people are still feeling like, man, and Nate kind of got his ass whooped in that fight. You know, Nate can put the posts of this is the moment of the fight where Masvidal, you know, knew that this was the end. I'm like, yeah, all right. Did he? And that's what I'm saying with the Diaz brothers, man. Their fan base, them and they just love living in conspiracy land. It's their favorite. They love living in, you know, George St. Pierre having the Canadian commission on the take. And, you know, these fights always been from the start. And look, you get it from some standpoint because, you know, Nick's career really was sandbagged by commissions when they banned him for life for smoking weed. That was crazy. So you get the distrust, but they also just like they'd almost prefer knowing that there was an open-ended result that they can go and jump off that and get everybody who does support them all crazy. than if it would have just gone to decision and it was what it was. Because now you can always have the what if. Now you can always have the situation of deciding, well, you knew where that fight was going. It's like, why? Because you stalked and slapped him while you were on your back bleeding out your pores. That's why we're going to sit here and say, oh, maybe that's what could have happened, I guess. Or maybe you would have continued to get that eye just butchered up, you know. But that's the weird thing when it comes to fighting, is everybody always thinks about the what if on the side of, well, what if there was this crazy comeback? It's like, well, yeah, but what if things would have just gone the same? What if things would have just continued down the path of him getting pieced up and, you know, then actually needing some serious, even more serious surgery on that eye, and maybe he does never fight again, not even by his own choice. It's always nice to think about the margins of comebacks and storybook endings and all that stuff. And it's good to think, oh, well, what if Jorge Masvidal would have gassed out like Conor McGregor? It's like, yeah, but he never has. Like, why would that be the case? I don't really know why you would be in the path of thinking things are going to go in that direction. Speaking of Conor, Khabib has come out this week. I was surprised we didn't see much of Khabib at the whole Russian card. I figured there would have been more of a presence there of him, but not really the case. But he says that Conor has to win 10 fights before he'll ever fight him again. I say that Conor has to win one fight before he gets Khabib again. Now, if he wins, and look, the first fight that has to happen, bar none, is Nurmagomedov has to take on Tony Ferguson. That's it. There is no other option. There is no other way to go. No George St. Pierre. None of this nonsense. Him and Tony Ferguson have to fight. I don't care if it's been cursed and it hasn't happened the first four times they were supposed to fight. They got to fight. It must be known before we all go to our mixed martial arts graves. We need to know who the hell was the better fighter between those two guys at 155. This is almost getting to the level of Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao, where like, these guys are going to be old and gray, and then they'll finally fight, you know, maybe in Bellator one day, and we'll finally get the answer. But we never got the answer we really should have gotten. These guys are meant for each other. The styles, the types of things they could do to make each other uncomfortable, I got to know which one of them is better. But, you know, that is the most important thing. Not a Conor McGregor rematch or whenever Conor's going to fight. Who knows? You know, We found out this week from Conor. These are the updates we get from Conor McGregor these days. We found out that he's not the father of some Irish kid. You know, the week before that, Conor McGregor, you know, slap on the wrist for punching an old man. You know, Conor McGregor, another assault claim. Like, these are the updates we're getting on Conor McGregor. We never find out if he's fighting anymore. It's all just updates on crime and scandal and all that stuff. And it's like, and I got to tell you, it's like the Irish papers eat this stuff up, because like they got a new story for every week that has come out of. But the way they do it in Ireland is you can't name a guy, so they always go like Irish superstar. They can never say who it is when it comes to him. But you know, honestly and truly, I think it would go like this. If Conor were to beat Donald Cerrone, or if he were to beat, you know, Justin Gaethje, probably Gaethje would be more warranted. If he were to beat Justin Gaethje, you know, then you could say, all right, we'll throw Conor right in again in the winner of Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. That's the way that'll go. If he beats Donald Cerrone, a little bit of a tougher ask, because Donald hasn't been as highly ranked, has hit a little bit of hard times lately. So I think it would be a harder argument to say, because I think Gaethje right now, as it stands, is a top five ranked guy. So if you beat a top five ranked guy and you go and beat him, okay, then we could talk about the idea you jump into a title shot, not eating 10 in a row and all this stuff. You know, so they have Gaethje right now ranked fourth, Donald's fifth, and Conor right now in some ways third, even though he hasn't fought in forever. So, you know, there's only two ways Conor could really go. If you want to go fight Dustin Poirier again, which I could get Conor not wanting to do that fight again, because, listen, he mopped the floor with Dustin Poirier, even though it was at featherweight, and Dustin's a way better fighter. Gaethje is interesting from the standpoint of you could see why that would make Conor completely uncomfortable. I think it would put a lot of rumors to bed. If he were to beat Justin Gaethje, I think it would be the most impressive win outside of Tony or Khabib at that division, where people would be the most impressed with him. But Cowboy and him have the history. Like, they've been circling each other for a long, long time. It's like, you know, a tiger shark and a hammerhead finally going to come to fruition, and boom, they're going to go at each other. That's why that one is interesting for a lot of reasons. So keep your eye out on that. Texter writes in 67974. Stylebender versus Yoel, UFC Miami at the BBC. I don't know if we're going to get the BBC, my friend. I mean, that's the tough thing about the Bang Bros Center. It seems like we're going to get this. I think I read the TD Arena, which is just, it's not like I have a problem with it, even though it is also the sponsor of the Boston Arena, which I'm not a fan of. But it's just so nondescript. Like the TDA, that's what it's going to be. It sounds like a sexually transmitted disease, man. The BBC, though, the Bang Bros Center, that's a party. And if you're going to have the Bang Bros Center and a couple of guys cracking in the BBC, that's the way to go. Ayrsley Adesanya versus Yoel Romero, sign me up. Now, I don't know if they'll do that. Like, let's talk about it realistically. The best chance Miami has to get a championship fight is going to be Masvidal. That's the way it's going to roll. Because, one, though Yoel is from down here and he lives down here and he's in the community and all that stuff, right now the guy who is synonymous with Miami is Masvidal. They did throw out their Paulo Costa versus Yoel. It was initially supposed to happen at the American Airlines Arena. It ended up getting moved to the BB&T Center, so we didn't ever get that. And then eventually, both guys fell out of that fight, for injury reasons, sickness reasons, and I think Paulo had like a really mini USADA thing that went on. So they did try doing Yoel. I think that'd be fantastic, although you almost want Yoel to get that shine. This would be really cool, honestly, if you wanted to do something like this. If you had, let's say, I don't know when Adesanya wants to fight, but if you did something like, let's say, April, and you had Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, they're going to fight in December. Winner comes out of that, the champion. Neither one of them has to move. They could train down here. Have them, Jorge Masvidal, championship fight, American Airlines Arena. But just to even soup it up more, not that you even thinking, I don't even think you would need to do it, because I feel like Masvidal right now is at the fame standpoint where he could probably sell out the American Airlines Arena by himself. But let's just say, or whatever the hell it's going to be. It's not going to be the American Airlines Arena if it's in April. Let's say it's the TD Arena. Well, let's just call it the Bang Bros Center. You got Masvidal versus the welterweight champion for the welterweight championship at the Bang Bros Center. And then on top of that, even knowing that that Jorge could sell out the Bang Bros Center by himself, you add on top of that Masvidal versus Stylebender. And the Masvidal-Stylebender one is an interesting one because, you know, we're at a point in middleweight where there's not a real fantastic option. You know, people are even throwing out their Darren Till. And should he jump and get right into there with Adesanya? I think that's a bad move, man. I think Darren Till looked good in his last fight. He didn't knock your socks off. I think as far as that night was concerned, I thought Darren Till's performance was pretty forgettable in his middleweight debut. Understanding that he took on an absolute badass in Kelvin Gastelum, who, you know, now is knocked all the way down to 7, even though he was on the brink of beating Israel Adesanya. I think it's smart to have him go and fight a guy like Robert Whittaker. Jared Cannonier is also an absolute monster. It's not as sexy a matchup as Adesanya versus Yoel. But look, Yoel's fights have been very, very close. I understand the argument for him from his team standpoint that he should be right in there for a title fight. But the results are what they are. Like, that's the thing that's troublesome about it. Like, you can't. There's been a couple of things. One has been the making the weight. He was able to put middle fingers to that with the last one with the Costa fight, which was a really, really close fight. I thought that he won the fight. And this is where the big argument comes with Yoel's team. It was like, well, you know, the loss to Whittaker, was it really a loss? The loss to Paulo Costa, was it really a loss? I get it. You know, this is all in the eyes of three people who have the most power in it. But they're still losses. Like, that, you know, everybody gets tough breaks. You know, look within that same stable and you see Jorge Masvidal, king of the split decision loss. What does he do? He has to go finish guys, and that's where you see the skyrocket. So yeah, I feel like Yoel, if he really wants to make a statement, go out there and fight somebody and finish them off, and that'll kind of end everything. Him versus Darren Till, I think that's a fantastic, fun fight. And I think if he beats Darren Till, I think it's a good matchup for him. I think he does beat Darren Till. Then it kind of just puts all stuff to rest. I don't know if him and Robert Whittaker are going to do it again. They've already done it twice. They've been super close fights. But I do think Yoel needs one more before he's in that title shot. But if we were to talk fantasy land right now, Masvidal for the welterweight championship and Stylebender versus Yoel,
That's a Miami party. That's a Miami party at the BBC. That'd be fun. All right, everybody have a great rest of Sunday. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 6 to 10 a.m.